welcome back to another episode of the Kung Fu Electric Boogaloo. This is the Monster Chiller Horror Theater. Oh, I am so excited to be here to talk about Frankenstein Island, because it's truly going to be a blast. As usual, I am joined by my co-host, so let's say hello to Jim.
I am thrilled to be joining you here on the tropical island known as Frankenstein.
Oh, yeah. There's just so much, you know, love to be given to this lush tropical island of weird things. I'm looking forward to it. All right, I'm betting Nick Boxer is looking for it too.
Greetings and salutations. It's like a fever dream on this island.
You're right about that. And finally, is it blackjack today, or is it ass
jumping jack,
or jumping jack?
Jumping jack Hall. Sup, pals?
Jumping jack Hall. All right. Well, I am 8th Dan Stanadu. Happy to be talking about the big time Monster Chiller Horror Theater. Okay. So, I will be honest, we had a little bit of a problem last time. In those last couple of episodes, we were expecting Brad to be doing some recording for us. And, he didn't show up, so it's quite possible that we don't have any recordings of the previous two episodes, which would have been Dracula vs. Frankenstein and Tale of the Mummy. So, if they're missing, it's Brad's fault.
I'm assuming it's the curse of the mummy. Like, just bringing the mummy onto the show.
It's true. That was that could have been a big mistake on our parts.
Yeah, if you...
And dude, those were good shows.
If you open the tomb or speak of the mummy, then you bring his curse upon you.
That's right, the curse of Talos. And
well, that's what Tom Cruise is saying.
That's a good
one. I think Tom Cruise cursed the mummy was the problem there.
That's a double shot of curse right there. It's the mummy's curse and the curse of Tom Cruise. Okay, Nick Boxer. Why don't you tell us about Frankenstein Island? I expect a good wrap-up of this.
Oh, Jesus Christ. I'm so dead. Okay. This movie never met an idea it didn't like. Like, it is safe to assume all the ideas are in this movie. Okay. Four male hot air balloon enthusiasts are stranded on...
Right there.
I'm already happy with the fact that you've just said hot air balloon enthusiasts.
Four male hot air balloon, as is commonly... All right, go ahead.
Are stranded on a deserted island where they encounter the female alien half-breed descendants of... Sorry. Oh, God, I'm already lost. Okay.
You had me. I went...
Female alien descendants of aliens that have intermixed with humans who are being preyed upon by Frankenstein's daughter. Sorry, Frankenstein's granddaughter. Frankenstein's dead whatever. And her husband... who is bedridden, Val Hinson. There are also zombies and werewolves in this. I don't understand where the werewolves come into it. And this whole thing with this, like, plastic trident when the guy's running around that was completely lost on me.
Plastic?
It actually looked
It looked like a Halloween plastic...
like a dollar store. Devil,
but it seemed to turn people into werewolves.
Werewolves.
I don't know. Their teeth grew and they got ferocious.
But Frankenstein does show up. Thank God.
Okay. Yeah. The Aqua Frankenstein does show up, but
they're kind of like...
That's the least crazy thing happening in this movie.
they're like werewolves, or not? The werewolves they're a little more like zombies, aren't they? I mean, I guess.
Well, I thought they were zombie things.
Well, the,
then
the
again, I'm still surprised about thing. The, I thought that was also Frankenstein's wife. You say it's his granddaughter. It might be both. You say something about aliens. I didn't know there was any aliens in this. I missed that.
Yeah, well, granddaughter, and they all went in the end.
They do mention that that they are alien.
Yeah, they're space aliens. The Trident looks like it looks like a dollar store plastic plastic Trident.
Yeah, what did the Trident do?
Screw you guys! I do not think they would have cheaped out on this movie.
and when they turned into whatever kind of zombie thing, they've also got those kids plastic Dracula teeth.
Yeah,
that's right. That's how you know they've turned into a monster is they've got those 50-cent toy plastic teeth that go in.
When this was
made, I thought the zombies were turning into werewolves when the Trident was touching them. See, the zombies had the white eyes and the sunglasses.
That's as good a bet as any.
And then they turned a further stage of their mutation was like a monstrous dollar store teeth.
Well, I mean, hey.
Oh my god.
I'll give it to you because really this movie has everything else. So why not? Why not?
I mean, I didn't even mention the embalmed man that was never explained.
The what man?
The guy the zombies had to dump the embalming fluid on every 2 hours.
Yeah.
That's never explained. It's just introduced that there's a guy in a tub.
Never
mentioned again.
And he's brought up several times throughout the movie. I think the weird thing about it is that it's specifically brought up, oh yeah, you got to keep putting the embalming powder on him every 2 hours. And of course at one point they don't, but it seems actually like they don't do it multiple times, but I'm really not sure what what it wound up solving or adding, but that's okay. We don't need to know those kind of things. This movie is far less concerned with actual consistent storytelling as it is with giving you all the fun stuff. But
we do have a guy who wears an ascot in this movie, the entire movie, and I liked him.
I want this said. That, of course, I have the Fear Facts for the season, and I'm sitting here and I'm on IMDb just refreshing my memory on a few things while listening to you guys, and it went up as I'm sitting here. The score from the audience meter went up from a 1.9 out of 10 to a 2 out of 10.
All right, so I assume Jim is voting right now.
Yes, I've put in my 10 out of 10 as we're talking.
It's the fucking greatest thing I've ever seen in my life.
See, and that's the thing, right? I knew immediately. All I had to do was turn the movie on. The very first thing you see is like computer looking 80s computer looking text. I don't even remember what it says. And then
I've got it in front of me if you want it.
Oh, excellent! Please do.
Confirmed SOS, 4-man balloon, crash survivors in ocean near small island.
Like, of course, naturally. And then I think it's like 5 minutes of stock footage of hot air balloons as a whole bunch of people try to explain to you that these guys have crash landed on an island.
And they put a lot. They put a lot of time into explaining how good of balloonists these guys are normally. just so you know that this is an aberration. They're not bad balloonists.
Yeah.
That's important for the rest of the story.
And then you finally see them on the island, and these four guys do not. They don't even seem to get along particularly well. But they certainly don't seem like the kind of guys who would go out together hot air ballooning.
I don't know. I could see us hot air ballooning together, and we don't like each other.
Well, no, that's fair. But I mean,
I'm there. I'm ready for the hot air ballooning.
Oh yeah, but
can dude, you invite me hot air?
Not ballooning. Over an ocean, though.
I'm just assuming it's a trap.
That sounds like a trap, doesn't it?
Yeah. And so then they find the girls that are uh, the the female descendants of the aliens, and two like we're, scantily clad women. Oh, and we can't forget the dog.
We're skipping something. They decide that they're going to make a raft as soon as they get on the island while they're holding a boat.
I love that. I love that they actually are carry the boat with them while they're trying to find material for a raft. And talk about how easy it'll be to build the raft.
Well,
it's my favorite thing.
There's so much stuff, and I love the fact that it's supposedly, you know, an island that doesn't have any people on it, and meanwhile there's tracks leading everywhere where it's fairly obvious that the crew is tromped.
That they're really in a national park as opposed to a deserted island.
I mean,
keep going. Don't stop now.
It's gonna be very hard to explain the movie because I don't know that any of us actually understood the movie. But one thing that I will say is that so fairly early on, we see the girls. We see then some guys show up who are apparently pirates who have gotten drunken old pirates who are stuck on the island.
They're like extras from Treasure Island who have been stranded on this island.
And one of these guys is like my favorite person because all he does is like, just
that guy's laugh is contagious. And the funny thing is, we all know which guy you're talking about.
Oh yeah, mm-hmm.
Like
oh, for sure.
That laugh was contagious. I loved it.
When he's just doing it constantly. It's just like, ooh, something's really serious.
So I've got an odd note. When they meet the women, women are all gorgeous. They're all of like exactly the same age. They all live in huts. They all have leopard print bikinis on an island that does not appear to have any leopards.
Well, I mean, I never thought about that.
They were probably maybe I know what it is. There used to be leopards on the island. So when and then the pirates killed them all because pirates. And of course they were handed those bikinis were handed down for generations. Maybe it's like a Logan's Run kind of thing. At 21, everybody dies, and then that's there's right. like a new cluster. I don't know.
I have a theory, actually.
Nice. Excellent.
It's established rather quickly they're witches.
What?
They conjured them. They conjured the bikinis. They control snakes. They worship tarantulas. They're witches. They got witchcraft going on.
They do some sorcery. They do the sexiest dance in the history of film. they perform for they do this like snake handling thing, and then do.
Oh, I love that part where she's dancing, and this deadly venomous snake is sneaking up on them for like 5 minutes while she's dancing, and they're all eating, oogling them. Like drooling while they're eating, oogling these women, and the snake gets really, really close, and then the girl looks at it, and then they cut away. Nothing happens. There's a huge build for this snake. That took several minutes.
Oh, there's a lot. Like I wasn't even. I mean, obviously the whole thing. I don't know what happened, but and it doesn't bother me in the least. Like at no point was I ever thinking, man, I really wish I knew what was going on. Nope, not at all. I was perfectly okay not knowing what was going on. But yeah, because it seemed like that whole thing off the bat with the women, it took a little while. And then, of course, it takes the turn with the pirates. And then they introduced the bloodless zombies. And my favorite part is that they all have to wear the sunglasses. And at one point, one of them takes the sunglasses off, like, look at this! They're sensitive to light! No, they're actually not. They just have weird looking eyes. Because when he takes them off, nothing happens. Like it's not like
nothing
he goes like, oh!
happens. Anything, everything they build up, nothing happens in this movie.
This is about the time that they learn that anywhere on the island, if you mention a place that's not on the island, like a city, you have pain in your arm.
Which, and the acting let us know about
explained.
That. Actually, it's never like, ow, my arms are a little. It's, oh, my arm.
Yeah, like you need to amputate everybody's arm with the second that you think. And I don't even know how they figured it out. To a certain degree, it seemed like they were talking, and then it's just like, hey, wait a minute. If I think of a place, my arm hurts.
Yes, it happens once, and then the second time it happens, the guy's like, oh, remember when I mentioned New Orleans and my arm hurt? Ah, there it is again. And then that's the last time it's ever talked about.
Yeah. I actually think that it was brought up later by either one of the pirates or even maybe one of the crazy doctor people. But yeah, it doesn't add anything extra to the story, which is perfectly okay. I'm more than happy to just throw random goodies into this movie.
Yeah, for sure.
And speaking of goodies, well, one of the reasons that this movie got picked was, of course, a wonderful performance by Cameron Mitchell, showing up as a prisoner who basically did nothing but quote Edgar Allan Poe.
I love him. I don't know if he's supposed to be the pirate captain or what he's supposed to be, but he's locked in a cage and just says crazy stuff. And later in the movie, they will revisit him to like get knowledge and wisdom from him, even though he has only demonstrated that he's completely batshit insane every time they talk to him.
And all he does is quote like one poem from Edgar Allan Poe. That I think that his lines must have been the easiest thing in the world. Oh, just write, take the fucking poem, okay? Just write that there. Like, actually, no, I know what it is. They just asked him, do you have anything memorized? Yes, I do. I really, really enjoy this Edgar Allan Poe poem. Perfect. Just do that. Okay, great. We're done. But, and apparently he's got special blood. So that helps.
You say that so casually. It's an everyday thing.
Along with everything else.
At this point, everything is an everyday thing. People, people having and let's not forget, I believe, what was it? Was it John Carradine like channeling the great beyond or whatever as he like would show up being superimposed over random scenes. Like, I don't even know why he was superimposed over, but it's just like, the power! The power!
Yeah, he's
I don't think he knew he was in this movie.
I don't think so.
It's a floating head that says different weird stuff and then shows up again. The exact same shot, saying the same weird stuff, like he repeats the same lines over and over. Mm-hmm. It's fantastic. It might be his best performance.
Disciple of the 12 lands or lives. I'm sorry
to
tell.
It might be leftover stock from another John Carradine movie that was directed by the same dude.
Yeah, they did four. This is the last one, but they did four together.
Yes. That seems reasonable. I mean, yeah, and he talks about John Carradine keeps talking about the golden thread, and yes. Again, nothing ever is ever mentioned.
No, there's a lot of I think that Jerry Warren was a master of using footage and I think reusing footage.
You're the master, Jerry Warren. You told me that you looked him up, so I didn't have to.
Yes. So Jerry Warren's an interesting guy. He's going to appear a lot on our list for sure. But when he got his start, he got his start making like really really cheap, B movies, and then he realized that he was still spending too much money. So he started licensing foreign movies and shooting like 5 minutes to help make it his story.
Nice.
So then he would dub that. And then for a long time, that was his gig. And so Frankenstein Island is one of his last movies, which is highly unfortunate. But I love the fact, like, he did the music, he edited it, he produced it, directed it, like, wrote it, we'll say. But But, like, I love the fact that he basically came out and said that he was only in it for the money. He never cared if there was, if there was problems with the movie or if there was anything like that.
Because I'm sure this must have drawn huge box office.
No, that I'm sure it didn't draw a huge box office, but I expect that he had enough of a channel that the second that he made a movie on the cheap, that he managed to get it into video distribution or whatever, or to the smaller theaters, and he probably made, you know, enough money off of them to live. But I mean, what a fascinating guy. Like, yeah, he didn't give a rat's ass about the art at all. He just gave a rat's ass about making a little bit of money.
This was an auteur.
And so to me, I look at that, and that actually makes Frankenstein Island even better to me. Because, yeah, if you don't care if it makes sense, then I don't care that it doesn't make sense. So now, let's see now. We also got Sheila Frankenstein, played by Catherine Victor.
That is my favorite character name in the history of film.
I know.
It's the, you know, Dr. Victor Frankenstein and his great-great-granddaughter, Sheila. I love it. I love that so much.
Carrying on the family tradition. And I'm not, like, I'm not even sure what she did. So let's see if we can work through this. So they were creating they were creating zombies and trying to formulate the blood so that you know, Mr. Bedridden could actually get up and
her husband Van Helsing.
Yes. But so yeah, that,
what was his name again? It was something Van Helsing.
He's 200 years old.
Yeah, he's supposed to be the real Van Helsing.
Yeah,
he's the real
Dr. Von Helsing in this case.
Dr. Von Helsing. That's it. Yeah.
But yeah, so he's 200 years old because he was Frankenstein's assistant, partner, whatever, buddy, and so now they need to figure out how to stabilize him so that he can live forever, and I think that's part of the reason that they're creating the zombies and stuff like that is figuring out how they can, where to get the blood.
So there's something about getting blood, yeah, and bringing somebody back and getting a longer life. Of course, the guy's 200 years old, but this is what keeps him alive. But I don't know what the hell has to do when they're bringing back werewolves, apparently. So,
just continuing the good Dr. Frankenstein's work, because John Carradine's still hanging around. Dr. Frankenstein is still hanging around as a disembodied head.
Yeah.
So,
yeah.
Watching over.
And he was a brain. His brain was
brain there in jar, in yeah.
It wasn't his brain. It was just a brain.
That's true. Which controlled things.
Which they had a backup of somewhere.
Yeah.
That we never
somewhere.
Saw.
Well, they lost the backup. I don't know. They didn't figure out where they put it.
Can we just get to Cameron Mitchell already?
Hey, we haven't even mentioned that the zombies were drug addicts yet.
Well, the pirates were all alcoholics. The zombies were random drug addicts.
Not random. It was a local drug that turned their eyes white. The white eyes wasn't a side effect of the zombieism. It was a side effect of the drugs they were taking.
What?
Yeah, it doesn't really matter because it doesn't affect the story in the least, but I was quite proud I was able to suss that out.
Hey, this is awesome news because so between all of us, we each have a little bit of information about the movie that the other one doesn't have. So it's good news.
I think it's this kind of movie and Inception that really live up to digging deep and comparing notes with other people. You don't get that with a lot of movies. That's usually true. You just hand it.
That's true. And and of course we can't forget that there's a dog. That one
yes.
of them one of
yes.
them managed to bring a dog on the on the balloon, because
yeah, it was in the hot.
Naturally,
yeah, that's what dog you was do. Clearly in the hot air balloon, and then when the hot air balloon crashes, the dog gets to shore, bone dry, and crashes in the water, gets the bone shore, bone dry, no problem, and then he's every now and then you see the dog, and then the very final scene when they get back to the island after escaping the island, they get back to the island, and there's the dog, but it's clearly a different dog, clearly a different dog.
But the fact is that they left the, like, he was worried about the guy who owned the dog. I think he owned the dog. But the guy was worried about the dog at one point. But then, meanwhile, when they got off the island, he didn't give a fuck about the dog.
Wait, let's just... Can we backtrack a little bit? Of course. Missing great stuff here.
We need to, yeah. Because there was the big...
I don't want to talk about Cameron Mitchell and... Holy shit, but...
there was the big fight. The big fight.
Oh, no. I was talking about... So they get out of the you talked about how they're, for about 7 hours, they're talking in there in the hot air balloon. But the very first bit of dialogue that one guy is spouting when they get on the island.
Oh, yes. Yes.
Religious. I don't know what's going on.
Yeah.
Have you explained something of that to me?
No.
He's play acting like he's a revivalist preacher, but you haven't met the character, so you don't know that it's a joke. Like, so it takes, like, it took me like 10 more minutes to find out he wasn't serious in that scene. Cause he's talking like he's using the old timey preacher kind of terms, and the laying out of hands, and I'll heal you, and I'm brought you to the promised land. And then it's again, like, it's just a joke. So there's no, that's your introduction to a character.
So what you're saying is Cameron Mitchell is too good of an actor that he sold that to you.
Wait, I need to stop because I'm no longer sure who's Cameron Mitchell.
That's not Cameron Mitchell.
Cameron Mitchell is in the cage.
Right. Okay. Yeah, forgot about
it. You thought that guy, you did what I did, where you saw Cameron Mitchell and you knew it was Cameron Mitchell, but you also saw that guy and thought, hey, isn't he also in Kung Fu Electric Boogaloo?
Yeah.
But I don't think he was, because there is a fight scene later. And while the people in Kung Fu Electric Boogaloo were great at martial arts, what he did.
Do you mean Raw Force?
Raw Force.
Oh, Raw Force. What did I say?
Kung Fu Electric Boogaloo. The name Boogaloo, of the show. Which oh. Make no doubt, we are all awesome at Kung Fu.
I heard they're going to repackage Raw Force as Kung Fu Electric Boogaloo.
Fair enough, yeah. We need a brand. We need like a logo, Raw Force remastered in 1080, presented by Kung Fu Electric Boogaloo.
Or Raw Force remastered in Electric Boogaloo. That'll do.
Mm-hmm. I like it.
Raw Force. Anyways, this movie was just like Raw Force without all the unnecessary, incredible amount of nudity.
It's true.
This movie could have used a bamboo cage full of prostitutes.
Well, we have the bikini clad girls, so you know we were almost there.
That's true. And then see one of the things that I like about this season, of course, is that there's a whole lot of crazy science, and so you can get that.
Oh shit!
You can get a whole bunch of like. Whether it's a little bit of horror, whether it's the like, yes, Frankenstein, it's alive kind of thing. And this has a lot of those great garbagey things that do nothing but really look like they do something. And so I always appreciate that.
You know, you're going to be very happy later in the season because Frankenhooker is coming.
Well, yeah. I mean, you know, a little more electricity, please. Yeah, it's yeah, and then so the big fight. Are we ready to talk about the big fight?
Because there's the little fight, like I say, where where like one of the henchmen dudes fights that dude that was the preacher dude, and it's just them like throwing their arms in the general direction of the camera. And missing each other by about 15 feet for like 3 minutes.
Yeah, there was that. There was that one. And that
just
made,
like Should we choreograph this? Nah, just flail shit around quickly and I'll film it.
And that fight made no sense whatsoever. It didn't even seem like it was really within character. Like
it was one of my... Nope, it was out of nowhere. And then, yeah. And you're supposed to think, hey, he knows martial arts. But then you're watching him and go, he clearly doesn't know martial arts.
No, he doesn't actually know how to fight even.
So awesome.
But yeah, so then you have the big one. So the one of the group is a doctor. And he becomes really fascinated with what Sheila mm-hmm. Frankenstein is doing.
He drinks the Kool-Aid. He's on Team Frankenstein.
Yeah, so he
they're also dosing him with zombie juice.
He took it voluntarily.
Oh, okay.
But yeah, he's helping, and meanwhile, the rest of them are trying to build the raft so that they can not use their boat, because that would be bad. And so anyways, at a certain point, they realize that the only way that they're going to get off this island, here's a good question. Like, I'm not completely sure why they want them on the island, because you would think that with all those people, you would run out of food.
No, they can grow the giant vegetables.
Oh,
right. Yeah, again, the giant vegetables that don't tie into anything else in the story, but it's really important. I don't know if
you saw the inside of all the houses and everything on this island that's out in the middle of nowhere. It's all very modern stuff for the era. It's like cupboards and tables. It looks just like any other home.
Well, that is true. Well, I mean, Sheila
Frankenstein. It's furnished by IKEA or something here.
I mean, Sheila Frankenstein von Helsing expects a nice home. So her bedridden 200-year-old husband gave it to her. Naturally. When did they meet? Okay, so like presumably.
That's a fair question. Presumably.
Was he okay at 150?
Yeah, like, he's like, man, that guy, he's 150 years old, and he's in a bed, and he's bedridden. Fuck, is he hot? Yeah,
like, when did he become so bedridden that they would have met? Because
I didn't get the sense he was bedridden.
When was he off the island for them to meet?
Yeah, I know. Like,
I assume she grew up on the island, and that he's known her since she was born, which just... is creepier than anything you guys said.
I was more concerned that the lab they spend a lot of time in only had one wall.
Well, there's that too.
But one of the other girls that's on the island is Cameron Mitchell's daughter and the same age as everybody else. I'm like, okay, that explains where one of them came from.
That's one of my favorite parts in the whole thing. So Cameron Mitchell gets brought in for another dose of blood. Meanwhile, nearing the
explain why. Fight. Explain a little bit more. Cameron Mitchell is what and where?
Well, Cameron Mitchell is the, you know, has the special blood. He's tied up in the lab so that they can get the special blood.
He's in a prison.
Yeah,
he's in his prison. He's been there for how long did they say he's been there for? 4 years or 7 years?
Seventeen years,
because that dude is clean shaven. He's in a prison cell for 17 years, and his jeans look brand new. He's clean shaven. Looks like he's just stepped out of a shower.
I didn't think that, but
I didn't think that either.
But
did you watch the right movie?
Yeah.
Like, come on, he's got no facial hair at all.
We can all agree his daughter's a hottie, though, right? Like, he discovers that one of the bikini-clad girls is his daughter that he had with one of the older women on the island.
No. It's established that she was a baby 3 years old when they were shipwrecked.
What?
Yes.
She was 3 years old because he expected her to remember him. So her mother had nothing to do with the alien bikini-clad women on the island.
Oh, they're
she
aliens.
She was just raised by them.
So, I guess you haven't figured out.
I was very confused by this movie. Everybody's jeans look new in this movie. Every henchman was just wearing blue jeans. The average henchman.
Are you doing back-to-school shopping or something? You seem obsessed with how old everybody's jeans are.
some of them are in brand new khakis. I think you think you're I love that. All right.
Okay. Well, so we needed to talk quickly about the fight. It's explained that the only way to kill the zombies is to shoot them through using a machine gun, like cut them in half using a machine gun.
You know, I want to say that the zombies are pretty strong, but that's not a secret way to kill something.
So, are you suggesting that you could be killed by that? Like a
kryptonite kind of thing. The secret of killing these guys is to shoot them, cut them in half with a machine gun with freaking 50 caliber bullets. That'll get them.
Yeah. So they find a 50 caliber machine gun.
Bullets are huge, dude.
I love the fact, like, they bring it in and they're like, bar the door. Where, you know, like, they're all in the lab and they've got the door barred and it's just like, they're going to come in. And then the machine gun doesn't work. Mostly because I think that they didn't want to spend the money to actually have it fire.
I kind of also enjoyed that they were able to take their time because they just assumed the zombies were too dumb to go to the window. It's a line. They actually go, well, that door's going to take them a while because we bolted it and they're too stupid to walk around the house and go through.
Well, everybody knows werewolves aren't very bright.
They weren't werewolves at this point. They're what? Only werewolves when they get hit by the trident.
I'm sorry. I feel like an asshole now.
Yeah, it's at this moment that Frankenstein / Frankenstein's monster makes his appearance in the movie. And he's called
urges out of some water.
He's called up by, I assume, by Dr. Frankenstein. Could be wrong.
That was my reading of the scene.
Yeah. Right. So yes. So he's at the bottom of a pool hidden in a cave. And so he gets up and he comes into the lab and starts destroying shit. Not sure why they called him. And then, of course, that's when the brain, which runs the lab, got destroyed.
I love the confidence of that, as you're saying that in your voice.
And then they're like, it's okay. We only need another brain. Where's the backup brain? Shit, where's the backup brain? I look for the backup brain. And thankfully, they don't find the backup brain. So everything stops.
The backup brain was hidden years ago, just in case.
Yeah.
This leads to one of the craziest and one of the big questions I have. So the brain thing stops. The brain is destroyed. All of the zombies stop. At which time our heroes go, we should leave. Instead of, we should very carefully destroy all of the zombies on the island. And leave in our own time.
Well, I mean, it didn't matter because
well, they had the raft by that point.
Yeah, because
they didn't bring any of the hot girls with them. Like they abandoned all of the hot girls.
They could give a shit.
Yeah, but they spent a lot of time building that raft, and they might not need it if they don't go right away.
Well, and so then the next scene is them with the armed forces. They went to the army somewhere.
Who don't seem have a lot, they don't have a lot of trouble believing all this stuff, really.
Well,
there's a couple eye rollers there, but everybody's like, okay, let's go check out this island.
That's worth taking a look.
What you do is you just walk into an army base and say, can I talk to the guy in charge? And they go, yeah, sure.
Well, these guys are balloon enthusiasts, so you know they had some.
But I think you could get into this army base because I don't know if you realized, but as they're walking around the island, it's like they're not actually wearing army uniforms. They're like more wearing paint smocks that were just painted green. Because
yeah, none of them have uniforms that match each other. They seem to have come in off of a yacht as opposed to any kind of military vessel.
Yeah. And there's no markings of rank or anything like that. It's just random people that they got who kind of had an outfit that could, like, coveralls that look like they could be army coveralls.
Hey, do you mind if we spray paint that? Yeah, you right there. You, what are you over there? Boom, mic guy. Okay, do you mind if we spray paint your clothes green? You're okay with that?
No, they went to the motor pool. They got all the mechanics from the army. That was what they did. And so then, of course, they don't find anything. Magically, everything, even the house, the beautiful house, seems to have gone. And it's just like, what? But this is terrible. So the army's like, screw you guys. We're leaving. You guys are dumb. And then, so meanwhile, these guys are going to be marooned on the island again. But thankfully, the dog who was still there comes out.
A different dog. Yeah, clearly a different dog.
And then they find a necklace that one of the girls, I think Cameron Mitchell's daughter, I think, had. And they're like, ooh. Maybe it was all real.
Really? Because I took that entirely different way. Because they flipped it over and it had a picture of a planet on. And the dog sort of looked up and everyone sort of looked up. I think he was telling them that the girls went back to their planet.
Yeah, but there was talk of a sequel, I believe. So, unfortunately.
They've planted a lot of seeds.
Frankenstein's plan would have been fantastic.
Oh god, that would have been just the best thing ever. But these guys, meanwhile, they're all like clapping each other on the back, like, oh yeah, man, love me some Frankenstein Island. There's nobody else here now, but oh yeah.
they're all like, oh well, they just have like kind of a laugh, like a police squad like laugh freeze frame at the end of, guess it happened after all.
Oh, all that hell we went through and those people that died. Oh, hilarious. It was so
much fun. Oh, do you remember that guy who quoted Poe?
Remember those women that we abandoned here?
that we all wanted.
They were so nice
with.
To help us. Yeah. They helped us and then we left them on the island with the zombies. Yeah. Good times. Oh, good times.
All right. Let's score this bad boy.
All right. Shit. It's time to open up the octagon. As we search for the ultimate B movie, we rate each movie that we talk about in five categories, none of which are objective quality. We start with a category we call schlock appeal, and Stan is up first.
Well, I mean, okay. So, firstly, I'm going to say that it made no sense. So I'm going to give this a high schlock appeal score because you got zombies wearing similar outfits. Of course, you know, you can't get them all wearing the same outfit because that probably would have cost too much money. So I'm sure it was whatever they had in their closet. That's okay. It's, you know, I mean, Cameron Mitchell adds to the schlock appeal of anything. I'm going to go with a 9.
Yeah, I have to sort of go right up there with a 9 with you. Bikini clad aliens, zombie werewolf, drug addicts. This movie has everything. They left nothing in the schlock drawer. They put everything in the schlock drawer in this movie.
Sure, sometimes I have holes in my schlock door. And,
I can't think of anything they could have
ever kept.
What could they have put in that they didn't put in? Because they didn't leave anything out, man.
There was even fire eaters in this. I mean that's a dedication, or perhaps you just knew a fire eater. Did you score it, Nick?
No, he didn't.
He gave it a 9.
Sorry, 9.
Oh, okay. 10. Hurry up, Jim, so we can get to the WTS.
A plastic trident and Frankenstein's monster who shows up like 5 minutes from the end of this movie. Also a 10. Next category we call more heart than budget.
Well, I know. Here's the thing. I know from doing the reading that there is that there was no heart that went into this. I also know that there was no budget that went into this. But at the same time, it's almost like two wrongs made a right. I'm giving it an 8.
You know, I'm completely disagreeing with you. I am convinced 90% of the movie, 90% of the actors in this movie did not know they were filming a movie. So I'm only going with the 4. I can't go any higher.
Calling them actors, I think, is one of your first mistakes in that.
Oh my God. You know, you could easily say a 0 because clearly Jerry Warren just does it for the money. On the other hand, they have no budget and yet they managed to fit in a few special effects and this insane concept. So I'm going 10.
I think when you look at this movie and if you add in what you're saying about he was just doing it for the money, I'm trying to imagine that this was the most commercial thing you could think of. Like, I know what sells. Like, in an age of, like, Animal House and Porky's making zillions of dollars, he's like, you know, women in bikinis who don't get naked in Frankenstein's Monster. Cash in the bank. I'm giving it a 9.
Hot air balloonists.
And, yeah, and, well, every movie in the early 80s was about a group of hot air balloon enthusiasts.
Hot air balloon beat this one though. For two very important reasons.
One, they actually use the hot air balloon in Hots.
Three very important reasons then.
They actually had a hot air balloon for sure.
That's good.
It was actually theirs. It wasn't just footage.
All right, moving on to our favorite category, what the fuck moments.
Okay,
well, please limit it to 100.
Well, obviously right off the bat it's the stock footage of the hot air balloons and the people, you know, discussing at length the quality of hot air balloon people that are four heroes. That is one of the great things. I took a couple of notes. Now, of course, Laughing Man really, really occurs in here. But so one thing, now, anytime they were outside, you could tell that the sound was added in because the constant bird sounds. It's like the island, you never saw a bird, but if you listen, all you hear is the same bird sound over and over again. So I had to note that. There was also a whole bunch of random cutaway shots. So it would just be like, you know, walking along, poof, tree branch, walking along, you know, like sky. Okay, who knows? Oh, and of course, a lot of cutaways to either Laughing Guy or the zombies, just like standing there. My favorite line in the entire thing was, I forget, but the guys, it was right around one of the arm periods. And the one guy says, it's like telepathy. The other one, telepathy? No, like telepathy.
I have never in my life watched a movie where the dialogue was a line, then the other guy repeats that same line back to him so many times. I counted 9 times that happened.
I appreciated the rehash, though. I really didn't know what was going on a lot of that movie.
So, yeah.
It would catch me up a little bit.
Yeah, I know people who do that. It's incredibly annoying. It's just mind-numbingly annoying.
And then the other
is
line...
Is it mind-numbingly annoying?
Annoying, you say. No. Mind-numbingly annoying.
It's like annoying. It's not annoying. It's like it's annoying.
And then the other line that I have marked down is, it's those logs are tangible. They're rooted to the ground. Perfect. Good logs rooted to the ground. That's excellent. All right. So needless to say, I'm giving this a 10.
Yeah, I'm only giving it an 8 just because a lot of the WTFs, I'm not sure were even intentional. I mean, there's a lot of them.
That's
but
the point of WTFs. They're not supposed to be intentional. Well,
I don't care if they're intentional. Ultimately, that's not vital.
There were some things that were just bad.
Bad.
I'm still going high on this one, an 8. But the snake sneaking up on the dancer, I'm just saying that's poor filmmaking and not a complete WTF. I much prefer the guy in the embalming fluid that they had to, I don't know, salt or water every couple hours that is never explained. That's the WTF for me. There's too much like just bad filmmaking in this to go full hog on this.
No, this is a 10, dude. This could have been a 1,000. This movie is long. It's 135 minutes, I think. And there's a WTF every 10 seconds. I calculated it out. That's 4,613 WTFs.
But still, the first WTF occurs
1 second in when you see the balloons.
Like, well, the text is the first thing. That text right off the top is what the fuck.
Okay, so you have things like, there's my favorite WTF. Here's a few of them. I love that there's a scene where people are walking beside all these houses. And they're saying their dialogue. And in the middle of a sentence, it cuts to them from another angle where they're now in an open, clear field with no buildings around in the middle of the sentence. And then comes back to them in a third location. They're finishing the conversation completely away from each other. That's great. Okay. There's the moment where there's the one guy that we talk about with the laugh. Do the laugh there again, Stan. So he has the eye patch, and one of them says to him, "Hey, why do you have an eye patch?" Of course, he responds with, "Why do I have an eye patch? Because of why?"
Because of course.
and then he turns to him and goes, "Because of this." And he turns to him, and the camera's at the back of his head, so you don't see anything. But he lifts up the eye patch, and the guys go, "Ooh, oh yeah." And they put it back down and walk away, and nothing's ever said of it. Nothing ever happens from it again. It leads to nothing. But they wanted it, but they couldn't afford the special effect of it, so they just did it anyways. Or how about the moment where Sheila Von Helsing or whatever the hell Frankenstein thing there, where she's sitting there, she becomes the zombie. So her eyes are going. Then she gets the teeth, so she becomes the werewolf. And then it cuts back to her, and she's just standing next to nobody. And it was cut on here for like 30 seconds of her as a werewolf, and then right back to her just standing there, just talking to people normally. Nothing ever comes of it. That's a WTF. I love the fact that they get on the boat. They've been on this island. They escape. They get on the boat. They get to this army base, however long it takes them, because they're stranded in the middle of nowhere, on this boat to get to civilization. I don't even know how they know where civilization is. They get on this boat. They row all this way. How many days it takes them? They show up in the army base. They get back on another boat with the army, come back to the island. None of them bother to change their clothes.
No clothes changes. Those clothes are good clothes. Incredible. Good clothes.
Well, in the film's defense on that one, would you have recognized any of these characters in different clothes?
that's fair. That is fair.
Yep, give you that one.
I never thought about that one.
I'll give you that one. Yeah. You
Oh, my God. James, it's your turn there.
they all kind of look like you're like that friend of your dad's who only comes by a couple times a year. You don't really know anything about him. Like he comes over, like you come home, and like dad's talking to Stan or Jeff.
And you mean the one, Jeff? The one that molested you when you were four?
Just the guy with the beard. That's it's like that to me. Such a plethora of what the fuck moments to speak of. There's a little tiny thing that I just adored when Sheila Frankenstein, which is also amazing, starts up her machine. All kinds of lights go and there's noises, and you know, of course there's no logical explanation to how anything works or what it's supposed to be doing, but the whole machine runs. And then there's they keep cutting away to this pile of gear that's sitting on a table, and there's what looks to be like a lunchbox that's on the table, and it's spinning. It's like up on a corner. It's just spinning round and round. And they show it 3 or 4 times. And it's like, I found it quite mesmerizing. I'm going to try to cut some footage of it into when this goes up on YouTube. it's like a tissue box or a lunch box, and it just spins around on its corner.
Oh, yeah.
You know, multiple working.
Times, yeah, that's like, right.
And it shows it over and over. Yeah.
I don't get
none
that.
Of us in the WTFs have brought up Frankenstein's fighting ability.
We will. We'll get to Frank. I've got my big what WTF, and then we'll. I'm sure we'll get back to Frankenstein.
Because so, in that room, he's just like, was he blind? Like, he's just throwing his arms and spinning around, hoping to hit something. Everybody else is doing these fighting things. Oh my god, it was the greatest fight scene of all time. If you lay some music over that, people would think it's a dance scene. I'm not fucking kidding.
For a guy who's been underwater for that many years, I thought he did quite well.
That's actually why he's spinning around. He was just trying to dry himself off.
Well, no, that kind of shit screws up the equilibrium. He made it all the way to the house across the desert. Oh,
shit. So the first time that our heroes, the balloon enthusiasts, meet the leopard skin girls, they meet them in the field, and everything, like, the girls just come out of the what looks like a wheat field, and the guys are like, hey, lots of chicks. This all seems good. Like, we're not alone on the island. There's beautiful women here. And then they notice that there's a girl who is tied between two trees like a hammock.
Yes. Yes, the
and
hammock.
And they look like they're about to ask what's up with that. And then they don't. And they don't ask any question until the next morning when they come back to get the girl.
And then everyone, they find out. Yeah, they're like, gosh. It was like she volunteered for it or something. Like,
yeah, that's all they tell you. Yeah, she wanted it to happen. Like, she asked
it's
for
part
this.
Of the part of the thing. Yeah, that you
just
do.
Yeah, it's just a lower back thing. I like, but
yeah, that was really incredible.
But not asking a question earlier when they see it, they're all standing all next
with
to
it.
Her.
They're like, hey, that girl, she's clearly like in pain or gonna die. Hey, look over there, trees. Like.
Love it. I'm also giving this a 10. Memorable moments is our next category.
Well, for me, one of the most memorable moments is just Cameron Mitchell. I will never, ever, you know, think of, I may never think about Cameron Mitchell not quoting Edgar Allan Poe anytime
He, by the way, said back lines that they asked him, like, how long have you been here? How long have I been here? 3 times he was responsible for.
and the laughing guy, man, sing. Like, it's characters like that that really emotionally invest me in a movie. And I was emotionally invested in this. So I am giving it a 10.
Wow, I can't go that high just because I was way too confused during this movie to remember anything.
That's what I remember is being confused. Like this, but and I, as I've said it multiple times.
No, they never gave me time to process how crazy some of the things they were doing were done because something crazier happens in the next scene.
I know,
and he wouldn't give it a WTF 10.
How great is this movie? How great is this movie that you don't have time to process that they're instantly on to the next crazy thing? That's like filmmaking, you know, B-movie filmmaking 101 right there.
No, I can only give it a 7 on memorable moments. Hey, that's high. Out of 10, it's passing grade.
It's like 70%.
If this is a 10 on the WTFs, it's because this thing is constant. It's so memorable. There's so many memorable moments. But every single one of them is because it's a WTF moment. I remember a moment where they created a memorable moment, something was cool that they did on purpose. 0. 0.
You guys are giving us a 0?
A 0.
All right. I have similar thinking, but I'm going to be more generous at a 4. I will forever remember the horrors of Sheila Frankenstein. I'll give it a 4. All right, we're at our last category that we call crazy concept.
10.
Okay. Yep. No, just 10. Yeah.
I don't need to repeat the crazy
concept. I'm exhausted. I don't want to think about it anymore even.
Jack, I missed it.
10.
10? 10 for you as well. Wow. More conservative of only, at only 8 for me. This thing's wacky, though.
Now, do you think they wrote any of this shit down?
I can't imagine that they
or did. Was just somebody making it up as they went along.
It's funny that when you mention how many times they just repeat back what the person told you, that's a standard thing to do when you're improvising. While you're coming up with the answer, you just repeat back. And you do it in interviews, too. Like, what do you think of the new legislation? The new legislation. Well, I'll tell you what I think of that.
Yeah.
All right. So that brings us to the end of the balloting. And now we have the secret modifiers. Every season we have 6 secret modifiers that may or may not impact the final score. This one has 2 of them. We do get a +1 for my favorite secret modifier of this season, the text opening. Writing on the screen at the beginning of the film. So it gets a +1 for that. It does get a -1 for what we call hide the monster. Because Frankenstein's monster on Frankenstein Island appears at 1 hour and 18 of a 1 hour and 35 minute movie. Bringing us to a final score of 83 out of 100.
Wow. So where does that place it?
That places it, I believe that puts it in 2nd.
Is that ahead of Wolf Guy?
Wait, I don't have Wolf Guy in the octagon yet. Just behind Wolf Guy. Hey, Wolf Guy, 83.5 for Wolf Guy and 83 for this.
Really, Jack,
and number 1 is 0. Still.
Yeah. That's Jack.
I gave it
40 out of 50.
I gave it a 10 in every other category, dudes. So you can't beat me.
Stan the big dog here with 47 out of 50 is what he gave this film.
It's a classic. I could watch this movie weekly.
And you'd discover every single time another WTF.
That's right. I would still have no idea what's going on. Like that's the greatest thing ever to me. It's the gift.
It's incredible.
Yes. Absolutely.
But yeah, so Wolf Guy is still number 2 overall. And number 1 overall is still Ninja 3, The Domination. But it's getting tight. We've always said when somebody knocks off Ninja 3, we never thought we'd see it. But when it does happen, it'll be momentous. And, and I think, and I can now see, it's possible.
It is. But when you see movies as good as Wolf Guy and Frankenstein Island, you absolutely know that it's possible. Because
use the word good.
Well, but that's the thing, right? When we watched Ninja 3 The Domination, there was a question of like, how could you get more what the fucks than this? And then you start seeing Frankenstein Island and it's just like, oh, never mind. I know how you can get
this
more.
I believe this has more. If I was to mention the amount of WTFs, this is the highest. And then Ninja 3. Wolf Guys were just so big. Like, you know, him loving his mother's.
But again, like you had talked, I know, Jack, that you mentioned in Ninja 3 The Domination that it was like 2 minutes in, you were getting the what the fucks. Well, in Frankenstein Island, it's like
about
1 second.
About 30 seconds, actually. Yeah.
but still, it's that crazy. Like per capita, so many more what the fucks. All right. Well, next up, I know we're all excited to talk about a good old classic, Monster Squad. So that should be fun to talk about. And let's see now. Jim, why don't you tell the folks where to find us on the internet?
All right. On Facebook and Twitter, follow our podcast sponsors, We Talk Podcasts. And also WeTalkPodcast.com is home of the Octagon, where you can see all of the movies getting falling into place on the chart as we go and find out what the top and bottom of that list is. And also you can follow us on Instagram at Kung Fu Electric Boogaloo and use the hashtag Kung Fu Electric Boogaloo when talking about the B-movies you love.
All yeah. Right. Follow us right after you check out all the glitter pumpkin butts people are painting of their own asses.
I didn't need to know about that.
Oh, no. You need to know about that.
Is this a hobby of yours, man?
This is the newest trend, and it's why Instagram is great. Let me tell you guys.
All right. Well, anyways, let's wrap this bad boy up with a little ow. All right. So thank you for listening to Monster Chiller Horror Theater. And I hope you enjoy Frankenstein Island as much as we did. So for my pal Jim and Jack and Nick, I am 8th Dan Stanadoo. Thank you for listening to the Kung Fu Electric Boogaloo.